Funpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Willkommen zur 216. Funpod-Ausgabe, sagt Michael. Letzte Woche bin ich aus Faro zurückgekommen, wo wir die zweite Consulfood-Konferenz über solarthermische Lebensmittelverarbeitung durchgeführt haben. Und in den kommenden Wochen werde ich mehrere Interviews veröffentlichen, die ich dort aufzeichnen durfte. Heute möchte ich mit zwei außergewöhnlichen jungen Frauen aus Indien den Anfang machen, die durch die Praktika im Rahmen ihres Universitätsstudiums in sozialer Entwicklung und Organisationsmanagement ihre Begabung für die Unterstützung von Menschen in den Dörfern Indiens entdeckt haben. Neha Mehta und Kinjal Pandya erfahren in vielen Gesprächen mit den Menschen in den Dörfern, wo der Schuh am meisten drückt, und schaffen Abhilfe. Das können gesundheitliche Schwierigkeiten sein oder solche mit Hygiene oder Abfallbeseitigung, wie in ihrem aktuellen Projekt in einem Reservat für Tiger. Außerdem erfahren wir, wie sie dazu gekommen sind, Solarkocher und Solartrockner kennenzulernen und in den Dörfern einzuführen. Und nebenbei hören wir einige vertraute Namen von Solarkocher-Pionieren, die uns schon früher ihre Geschichte erzählt haben. Außerhalb des Interviews haben mir Neha und Kinjal übrigens ganz beiläufig erzählt, dass sie neben ihrer Muttersprache Gujarati auch noch Hindi, Englisch, Punjabi und ein paar andere Regionalsprachen Indiens beherrschen, die sie immer lernen, wenn ein neues Projekt das erforderlich macht. Und nun freuen wir uns auf 39 Minuten mit Neha Mehta und Kinjal Pandya.
Okay, Neha Mehta. And I introduce myself as an agent of a change. It could be in a renewable energy, but I it's like on a full focus area, not only the solar, but to the rural people where they need it most. So yes, that's what I would like to introduce as myself.
Okay. I am Kinjal Pandya, and same as a change of agent of change. Which work in the rural area, and we want to help other people, not just help, but to know their needs and try to fulfill them.
Uh-huh. Okay. How and where did you meet?
We were studying together in a social work faculty in our city, Baroda. It's MS University. They provide a professional course to work on a social services. Together with the companies, it's like a CSR project, that how you can do it together. The company who always want to make a profit, and the rural place where there is a social need. So yeah, that was a place where we studied together.
Yes, studied mm-hmm. together and made first time.
When?
In 2007.
Okay, so you two studied the same
Course,
yes.
Yeah.
And what was it about?
It's social development and organizational management.
Okay.
So it connects organization as well as social work
okay.
together.
Yeah, okay.
And you can get idea of what the companies are doing in the corporate sectors, and the same time, what are the needs of village.
Yeah.
And how can we be the bridge mm-hmm. between them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there was an interview by our teacher that what next you want to do it. And I guess 98% of students wanted to work with the company. Mm-hmm. It was just both of us who said, no, we would definitely like to go in the village and do work with
continue
them.
Continue with our social work.
Social
like,
work.
Yeah.
What we like to do.
Okay.
And why we entered into this course.
So we had the common object, and that's why how we connected with each other.
Okay, so when you started your studies, you already had experience with social work before?
In a bit and pieces, because our family has that, you know, already, and willing to work with the rural people. Like my father helps many of the NGO, he goes there, you know, he also brings us to that connection that, okay, it's not only because he's a businessman, so he don't think that, okay, it's only earning. It always have to be a social responsibility from your end in the best possible way you can.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, yes, from my end, it was always with my father, you know, going to a different yeah. organization, helping people sometimes, mainly 1 week in a month, 2 months. So we used to go there, be with them and try to make best possible solution we can.
Okay.
And my grandfather and grandmother still staying at the village. So I used to visit them many times, and that's why I connected with the village family and village area, and I like to do the continuation.
Okay, then you started to study, and what happened then?
Oh yeah, we in the study we had to go to the rural, you know, it was like a 6 month, you have to, 5 days a week you have to go to the visit a rural area near your city, and then you have to design a project for them and evaluate the past project, how it was done. So we got a project together to go, and you know, there was one more friend with us, then we three went together to the village. So 5 days we had to go there, you know, study there.
One day we need to make some reports like what we have observed, what we find, and what could be done according to the findings. So we need to prepare those notes, and we give it to our teacher, and she suggests us like what can you do next step or something.
Okay, so you did this in the course of your studies several times.
Yes.
Got more and more experience.
Yeah, during that it was more like you talk to the woman self-help group, you talk to the village authority, you talk to the youth collaboration or a union within a village. Sometimes you go to the government, a semi-government, what are their policy, you talk to the company nearby, what are they doing with the social environment nearby them. So in that way we got an idea how things are working, you know, what's there on the paper and what's the grassroots reality.
Because companies have like, we have a CSR policies, like corporate social responsibility, they needs to give back to the society as they are using the land and the area of society. So we were there for to talk with them, like what you are giving or not, or what they show to the government.
Okay. And what are typical problems of the rural area, what you had to solve?
The best was, no, I wouldn't say the best, but the most was that, you know, there are a project that the company designed without connection with the rural people. They do not talk to them, they do not train them, they do not ask them what are the problems.
Yes.
You know, if they want to design an healthcare program, they design and deliver that.
Okay.
But health is not a problem.
Yeah.
You know, there might be a another problem of a shelter, maybe a water or electricity. So and yeah, that was
that differ because they hire people to do the projects in the village. So company hire the person, he don't know the village what he needs actually, what the village needs, and he just design the project and just deliver there. But so sometimes, most of the times, it differs from the need and what they deliver.
So the best lesson we learned during that, that if you want to work with them, you have to be one of them. So if you are being one of them, you realize what are the actual need. So
that means you have to live there for a while or what?
We don't say that it's compulsory or required to live there for a while, but yes, you have to visit there frequently.
Frequently. You need to meet them, you need to be friendly to them. They like trust building. When they trust you, they can say what is the exact reality and what are the needs. Something like that.
And what could these needs be?
See, it depends on a rural area. Where we were there was a river nearby those village. And because the river had salty water, the soil in those area was also not good for farming. And they could not have a good drinking water. Because of that, they had a few health problems. But so we have to, you know, design a project accordingly that their main cause is a water.
Okay.
And the farming is their main problem.
And what did you do?
What we do is there is a research institute in our city who works on a soil and, you know, other things. So we contact the director over there and we say, okay, this is the problem. What are the crops they can grow with this kind of soil? We cannot migrate them. You know, so what we did that, what, okay, and then we, the animal was there also one thing. So can they do animal husbandry over there? So that was our work that we did that. Okay, we did. And then we contact a doctor who can work with with this. Maybe not a diabetes or other things, but because of that, their bones has a problem. The older people has a bone problem.
Even the children.
Even the children.
Children were very weak, as you see them. So the child specialist, we contacted child specialist, then the bone specialist, and they came. We have done several health camps periodically, what the doctor suggested. And then they improve accordingly.
So it runs for a year, and this project, and then...
And we were meeting them like every month, every 15 days.
So. And at the end of this year, did you see changes?
Yes.
Yes.
It is documented with the doctor that, okay, we have arm surface, head surface, the weight of the children.
Child.
So what happens is, okay, it was like 8 kgs and now it has improved by 8.2. Is it going where the medicines are needed? So yes, we prepare a complete chart of that, and it is analyzed by a professional doctor who can really, you know, work. We do a coordination. We bring people to go to a doctor. And one more thing I would like to lighten up here is that, you know, in India there is many, you know, misconcept. They go to the, you know, ritual people when they are unhealthy, rather than going to a doctor. So they go to maybe a mosque or a temple or maybe a church, and they want the priest to, you know, heal their illness. They sometimes have the band on their, colorful band on their head. Sometimes they just do certain kind of, you know, what you say in
English? Tika or tilak, something like that.
It's very ritual things to follow, but it is not a medical thing that, you know, they can heal their illness. So you have to work with them that they trust you, then they go to those things.
And after I think 5 or 6 health camp, we asked them to cut that thread from their hand or a neck, or to not to use that powder or something. And they have agreed to that. They have cut, and
So that was, we think that in India, if you can overcome their ritual belief, then on a scientific note, somewhere you are friendly with them, you know, they trust you.
And now we have, in last few months, we have been there for like hygiene, give them training for their daily hygiene and
other stuff.
Health related issues.
Yeah.
Like the basic issues.
Yeah.
So this is the way we started our, you know, journey for working with the rural people.
Yeah. Okay. Was this still during your time at university, or were you already?
It was half with the university, and the company which was working with our university was very much fine with our work. So they said, okay, we pay you something, not a very good amount.
Yes.
But yes, we pay you, and then you can work for us, that if we want to work with these rural people.
Village areas.
Yeah.
So you just go there, need assessment, then
bring us a report that how it can work. So yes, this was the thing.
Design a project. We can think about it later.
Yeah. Okay.
But we were very initially, we didn't design completely. There were an expert to help us, but we were the people who can be a link between these few things together.
We met because of this conference about solar cooking and drying. Have you also some projects which are connected to this?
Yes. Solar cooking came into our life when we never wanted to work with any of the corporate house. So one day my dad suggested that, why don't you both go to the Muni Seva Ashram? That is a place where you can get a nice experience.
Yes.
So we just went there and we started, and then we meet our chairperson, Dr. Vikram Patel.
Yeah.
So he was like, you know, two young girl coming from a college and willing to work in such a rural place and why.
Yes.
So we said, we don't want money, we want an experience, that if you allow us to work here, we would like to work in any department, whatever you say, we would agree. So he said, okay, you be here for 3 days, I just move around and then
see all the areas which mm-hmm. we work, and then we will talk.
Then mm-hmm. we'll talk.
Okay.
And
so
decide.
So
yeah.
We said, okay, that's a positive sign. And we took up that as a, you know, a learning experience. We started doing that, and the 4 days said, okay, there are a few projects I would like you to start with. We want to work with our employees, you know. They are coming from a rural area, and what are their problems and how Muniseva Ashram can be helped.
Mm-hmm.
So there are more than 200 employees coming from a rural area. So we started working with them to interview them, what are their problems and how ashram can be benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So during that, you know, we used to go there every day on our motorbike. So 44 kilometers, I guess.
40 kilometers.
40 kilometers from every day. Every day.
How long ago?
I think three years.
Okay.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years.
So we used to go every day, and it was so motivated that we didn't mind driving 1 hour every day and coming back.
Yeah.
So there, and it was a very nice organic simple food, what we say. So initially it was fine, but then slowly mm-hmm. we thought it can't we have any other options, and we saw one, you know, pretty lady cooking something, and a bakery kind of chocolates and cookies.
And one day we found like chocolate cake there. And she was just preparing there, so we just got interest in the chocolate cake, basically.
And it was so nice smell, you cannot resist going over there.
So we just go near to her, and we were just
trying to please her, that somewhere she be friendly and we can have that
cake.
So that was the way we started, and during our talk she said that it is a solar cake, and I was like, what is solar and what is the, you know, the smell. We never realized that solar have a cake, and it was such a nice smell that, you know, it's like water in your mouth. It was so nice. So she said, okay, I can give you today, but tomorrow you have to spend 1 hour with me. And so we said, yeah, no problem.
Tomorrow we'll make chocolate and almond cookies. So we were like, oh,
yeah,
the cake, tomorrow cookies. So it's like getting better and better. So we went there. At the second day, and we were helping her. And she said, this is the cooker. She just slowly...
thought that we are, you know, pleasing her, but it was, she was training us indirectly.
What kind of cooker was it? It's
a box cooker.
Yes.
That time.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. And she introduced us with the box cooker, and she was just making us learn, like, this is the part, this thing.
They have a parabolic also.
How was it for when you started the idea of cooking with sunshine?
It was initially strange.
Yes.
Surprising.
And we thought that such a nice smell, such a amazing yummy cake,
okay,
just from this wok and sun, is it possible? We thought that many, you know, electronic instruments and oven and blah blah things is needed. It was like simply done so well.
Yes. Yeah. And we don't need to check it for a while. Yeah. Like we have put there for half an hour, the cake is ready. So it was quite interesting for us.
And then she introduced us to SK14 that she has, and there was a dryer also. So every day it was 1 hour for a training to the solar cooking, and that was Dr. Shirin Ghadia. So we started like that to the solar, and then one day she bring us to her house, and she has many papers. So she said, okay, you are doing a social work. If you agree to me, I can share some information with you. And we said, okay. So she gave us a one-pager pamphlet. Next day, she reviewed us that, oh, are these girls, you know, they have what they say, they really can do it or not. So slowly, she bring us to the light that, okay, she wants to make a smoke-free village. And I was like, is it possible?
Again, strange.
Again, very strange.
Yeah.
But yes, we started like that, and because Muniseva Ashram is in a rural area, and then we were already in touch with 200 employees who comes with the rural area. We started talking to them.
Yeah.
Okay, we go to the demonstrate how solar cooker works and what you can make out of it, and then bring it to Muniseva Ashram, and the people coming will buy your products.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that was an idea connection with Shirin Gadia, and then we started slowly into solar cooking, and we thought, wow, this is the right thing, you know. It is an environment friendly, it is yummy cakes and food, and people has just to change their bit cooking habit, you know. It's just a step ahead, going back. That is what we thought, that, you know, it's not a coming ahead, it's like one step go back. And then you will move your whole environment surrounded. No, it's always not
healthy
a
food.
Healthy food, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
It's always not to be a techo friendly. Sometime if you just go back and see how environment gives you a nice life, you will realize the importance of that.
Yes.
So this is what we learned from her, and slowly we started that diet, but unfortunately she died because of cancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were like, now what? Because we started a journey of a solar with her. And at that time, we didn't know Deepak Gadia.
Mm-hmm.
We just know Shirin. Mm-hmm. Because he was already moving around the globe.
Mm-hmm.
So we were not in touch with him. And then we were really upset.
Yeah.
Because he also didn't know that. You know, we are into this.
Yeah.
And one day we were just sitting and we were so now. We were lost. Because we choose our path of
area
a solar
of working. And like solar path, and now our I can say light
was just not there, you know.
Yeah.
We lost our light, and we were like, now what?
Yes,
we were into so dark that we didn't understand what to do with
light. Even we stopped going to the ashram for like more than 20 days.
Mm-hmm.
We were not going there, we were just sitting in our room and home, and we were thinking about like what we will do next, because
mm-hmm.
we were having the half of the way we were reaching, and now we don't have anyone.
So it was very painful, not only on a professional board, but she was so personally attached, like a mentor, like a light within you, but and then suddenly we lost her.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know that she was suffering with and she has no time, and we were like, now what?
Mm-hmm.
And slowly after 22, 23 days, we just got a call from Dr. Vikram Patel. Can you come again? Hear something. And then at that point of time, we met Deepak Gadia. And then Shirin has talked to him about us some point of time. And then we thought we were not friendly to him. He was not friendly to him. And we have one thing, you know, we didn't want to talk about. Because it always, for us, it was a painful, right, at that moment. But slowly, slowly, he took us to the technical part of a solar, that how to assemble a solar cooker, what is it all about. And he didn't allow us to go on that path. Slowly, he took us, you know, within his pain, he took us on a right path again. And
because we were not from technical department,
mm-hmm.
we were not knowing exactly the what kind of rays, what the diameters or what, these are the strange words for us. And he make us understand everything, like this you can do like this, you can do like this. And one day it was like he's supposed to assemble a SK-14 parabolic solar cooker, and he just called before a day, like tomorrow we are going to assemble a cooker, and can you be at the ashram this time? And we said, yeah, okay.
Okay. And then that's the way we started. Our cooker assembling. Slowly, slowly he teach us bit of a technical part, and then we combine us. We got back our track again. And that's the way we started going to the rural area again and teach them not only the cooking, but the assemble part also, that now you can do it. And one day, again, after a few months, we got a call. You know, we were doing that a bit, but not that as a fast track thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we were still on that note of a Shirin, you know, in the back of our head. One day he just make a call. There is one person from Portugal. He has a very nice cooker for you to go into the rural area. It would be nice if you can join it. We can say, okay. And then he introduced us, Professor Celestino.
Mm-hmm.
And he was making a cake into the kitchen. And we thought again.
The cake is the main thing. Which leads us to the solar path.
And it was motivating again to see someone so passionate about the cooking and solar. And yeah, so it started again. We learned how to make a funnel cooker, the cake into this. And we went to the school with Celestino. And that was a nice idea, a very, you know, a funnel cooker with the cardboard and going. It was easy. We find it really approach to start with rural people and specifically the youth as an education kit. So from then we learn, and then we started going to the various school into the rural area, vocational training, teach them how to make a funnel cooker from the cardboard and what you can do it with that.
And it doesn't cost much. It's like,
it was very,
if you have a cardboard and a silver foil, so it just cost you hardly 100 rupees.
Mm-hmm. In India.
So it's... In rural area, the cost is very much important because parabolics, they cannot afford.
Yes.
Box cooker, they cannot, like, they have constraint.
Mm-hmm.
So, the funnel cooker was the quite good answer for their...
Yeah. To start with.
And Celestino uses these bull's eyes of wash machines.
Yes.
No,
do you get them there? Or?
Yeah. We get them over there. But in rural area, there was also one problem. So he said that it is not advisable, but you can have a transparent plastic bag. You can blow air and tight it up. And that is another option. If you don't get a glass, you can use that. But yeah, glasses, you can get it from scrap. So that was not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, we found some scrap person who have the glasses. And we just tell him,
keep it with you.
Okay.
Whenever we come, we will buy from you.
Okay.
We buy. And he was ready to give us very nominal rate. So he was also interested how it works. And then we saw him also. And then he has that thing with him also.
Yeah.
So that's the way we started, and slowly we get into the many rural companies were interested to do the projects, to start up with this kind of a project, and slowly, yes, we started our career, we won't say a career, but the path to a smoke-free village, which was our starting dream to make up.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day we had a common friend who is a photographer and works into the tiger sanctuary or the photography, and he said, you know what, they have a problem. He saw the problem that when there is tourist time, the people has an employment, but rest they do not have. And because of that, even if he pays a bit more, they take him to the place where it is not allowed to. So he said, can you find a solution from them? And okay, that way we started our next journey to the very, you know, rural area of Uttarakhand.
It's Jim Corbett National Park. And it's like... very, very restricted area, and people just go there for tour to the sanctuary only. Otherwise, no people go there.
Mm-hmm.
There is only a tiger sanctuary for their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that was a problem, and so we started working with them, and we found that waste management is their biggest problem right now. There was everywhere. The beer bottles, the chips and other waste just lying on the road, and they were destroying the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Because the chip packet, the plastic don't get into the soil, and animals sometimes get stuck into the neck, and they get sick. Sometimes they die.
So we work with the 47 villages nearby the Jim Corbett National Park to work on a waste management, you know, how to we just educate them, starting with the slowly self-help group. There is a lady called Anganwadi worker. She works with the rural woman and the kids. And their health. So we approach
them. It's
like
in primary school.
So she knows everyone. Mm-hmm. It's like she knows everyone.
Yeah.
So we started working with her, few of the youth into the village. The authority, they were all agree, very kind people at the time. So we started going there, we gathered the people, how to segregate their waste. And what is important to segregate their waste, how important it is to do that.
And they are not wealthy enough to buy dustbins also.
Mm-hmm.
So we just give them a big bags, plastic bags, and say the green one is for biological things. put your all your stuffs from the kitchen, you just put it like in, mm-hmm. in there, and the red ones for plastics.
Mm-hmm.
So you just separate the things.
Mm-hmm. We just started with the two things, you know.
Yes.
And then we have a volunteers, and there are an organization to support the volunteers in a financial way.
Yeah.
So they were like, they said, okay, once in a week we would collect that. And then we started this Children's Day program. In that we took some of the waste and we asked children to bring that the same.
Mm-hmm.
And we make them, okay, what can you create from the waste? And they make a nice pencil stand, a candle stand, you know,
paper mats, glass mats, and something from chips packets,
from chips packet and waste
from the plastic bottles. They made flowers
colorful.
And like lamp and something.
Mm-hmm.
Many things.
They were very kids are really very creative. You should not restrict them. And then we started saying them, this is from the waste. So if it's you don't think it is a waste, it is a best. So that was our slogan always, and we started doing that. It's just a 6 month from today, so it is just and now we want them to go into the solar energy. They grow a very nice tomatoes, cherry, and apple, and they have a nice grow of mangoes.
Mm-hmm.
So we are planning to go back and ask them to food processing and a drying for the same thing. So when there is no tourist time, they
mm-hmm.
can have these things to earn, and you know, they can have healthy things to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you introduced solar cookers and dryers in former projects, did you see the results later?
Yes. What we do is we do not see the technical part of the results. There, this part goes with the Muni Seva Ashram and Deepak Gadia help us with that.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, what we do is we give a cooker to, if for an example, if we have given 100 cookers,
mm-hmm.
maybe it could be a parabolic or a box cooker or a funnel cooker. We try to see, are they continuously using it, or maybe they still have that some or not. But we found that still there is not a complete acceptance with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, initial training period, yeah, they were very motivated. They start doing that. But slowly, slowly, there is also a withdrawal symptoms. I would just say maybe 40%, yes, they still do that. But 60% are not completely into that zone mm-hmm. that they use that.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own reasons, like some doesn't want to go out in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot force them to go there.
In mm-hmm. India still,
some,
you know, the girls wants to be
yes.
more beautiful. They want to be look white.
Yes.
So okay. they don't want to go into the sun.
Okay.
And there is a religious thing, you know, I don't want my neighbor to see what I cook.
Okay.
And
so
they're like, what I can say, the vessels also plays the important part, because sometimes a big vessel you cannot put onto the like parabolics.
Yeah.
So they need to fry, they need to stir, they need to steam.
Yeah.
So at the same, one dish will take four parts, like cooking, baking.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
So what I what 40% accept is, okay, they can bake certain things, you know, maybe a rice or a dal curry, what we say, potatoes, vegetable into that, and then they shift to their, you know, regular
mm-hmm. cooking pattern.
Yeah.
So there are people who have started at least doing this, but we still need to, you know, make their understanding more, and maybe a process to change towards the solar cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But cooker also need are being I for them it's I accept their way also, because they want to cook into the room and not outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because in India, they have the dust, you know, their winds are there. So they also have their own problems to acceptance.
Sometimes monkey
them.
Come and
yeah.
broke the glass or a parabolic
okay.
dish.
Yeah.
So you cannot change those certain parts
yeah.
every time. So yes,
mm-hmm.
these are the problems that we have faced during the acceptance, but so
yeah.
it's I won't say
for now we have just created one thing. that we can give them peanuts or cashew nuts or almonds. They just roast them,
mm-hmm.
and we can pack them and sell it to the market. This is the easiest way for now.
Mm-hmm.
Till then, we don't find other solutions.
As an income generation with the solar.
Yeah, okay.
But the 40% are using them for baking things or boiling.
Yeah.
Half of food has been done, but 60 are still left.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Are the fires a problem concerning firewood? Is there deforestation also in your area? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so it would be good if they switched.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And the problem is not only to firewood. If you consider the environment and the roads, many villages still do not have any electricity.
Yeah.
So for a female, going there is not that safe.
Yeah, okay.
In the monsoon, there is so much of rain. So you have to store in a dry place. Mm-hmm. And if you go to collect, it's a health problem also. It's not easy to go.
Mm-hmm.
In a summer,
there is mud, like half of the lake just go into the mud. And it's not easy. Sometimes snake come.
Yeah.
And some
animal insect. You cannot say. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And in summer, it's so hot, you know. And they do not have that safety, you know, with the shoes or something like that. They use very thin sleepers.
Yes.
So, and then they have certain dress and they carry the wood on their head. And they walk. You cannot even imagine how tough it could be for them. But for them, they still need to be aware about inside, as in their right to have a nice, safe cooking pattern. But for them, it's like their mother was doing, grandmother was doing. So they are used to see that and they are using the same pattern.
And now they are not finding any problem with that pattern.
Yeah, of course. Uh-huh. Do you also introduce wood-saving stoves?
Not yet.
We know some of them, but we have not come to that right path yet to we can introduce that and they can use that, because after that the bricks are our problem, that we want the low smoke chula, what we say, to have a build there, and then the bricks should be, you know, available within that area, but we have not find something.
And why they switch to the briquettes instead of wood, which is free?
Mm-hmm.
Briquettes cost them something.
Yeah.
And some of the chulas, we just talked to some village people, and they were saying that if I can put a long stick into my chula, why could I just broke them into the small pieces for the smokeless chula?
Mm-hmm.
So it is more work for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are still looking for a
solution. Yes.
We met during this Consul Food Conference. How was it for you to be here? And do you take something with you home?
Yes, it was very great learning experience. We come across many people with the many technology and their experience. Because we come from a rural area. And then we work with the people with the problem. So we came here with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And just to say that we have this problem and what could be the solution. So, yes, there were many techniques.
Technologies which can be helpful. We will talk to those people now.
The networking was very nice. And then we come across many technology and many box cooker or funnel cooker or other cooker pattern that they would help us to not only the cooking pattern but the income generation part where we work in a rural area. Amazing experience. It was a learning, and we had some solution for our problems.
Mm-hmm.
Say that.
And now I think we can connect to those people and say our problems to them, and maybe they can give us a better solutions for our problems, like in the rural area which we work,
because we are not a technical person.
Yes.
And we got a variety of a technology that can help to the rural people in India. So, yes, it was an amazing experience.
Uh-huh. How was the atmosphere for you? The atmosphere of the conference?
Oh, it was friendly. I would say very friendly people and open people. It was nothing to hide about. What I find in a solar cooking family, in other, there was always a hiding what they have. They want to have patented or they want to earn something.
What copyright and other stuff. But here we don't find it.
Yeah.
We find the openness and we are now able to express our problems.
Yeah.
And everyone was ready to help, friendly. Okay, you have this. Oh, I have this solution. Can you try out this?
Yeah. Yeah.
So in that way, the Console Food and a Solar family was... It is like a family, what we say now, because everyone was helping each other in a certain way, very friendly atmosphere. So
even some people were knowing with some people who have technology. So we were talking and they just say, can you talk to that person? They have this kind of technologies and it may be helpful to you.
Is anything left what you want to say, what I did not ask?
No, it's all now, but I would still like to share one thing that, you know, when we work with the people, it should not that we are helping them. It always should be that we work with them rather than for them.
Yes.
If we carry with this attitude, even if you are a technical person or non-technical person or social worker, any way, if you work with the people, it always helps you to reach to your goal, you know. In that way, so I guess Console Food achieves that in that way.
Okay.
Now that is what we would like to say. And thank you, Michael, for having us on this interview.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Good luck. Yes.
Sunpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Positive Impulse für eine lebenswerte Welt, wie wir sie uns wünschen. Um neue Ideen bekannt zu machen, brauchen wir eure Hilfe durch Rückmeldungen und Unterstützung aus der Hörerschaft. Kommentare sind willkommen, entweder über den Blog www.sunpod.de oder per E-Mail. Die Kontaktdaten findet ihr im Bereich Die Autoren. Finanziell könnt ihr unser Ideenradio via Flatter, PayPal oder Überweisung fördern. Details hierzu findet ihr auf der Homepage www.sunpod.de im Bereich über Sunpod. Vielen Dank für eure Mithilfe.